You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, a Victory Monday edition as the Browns move to 7-4 with the 26-24 victory over the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta, the winners of two straight now on the road, Cincinnati, and of course here in Atlanta yesterday in the Georgia Dome. Time now for the roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill, the number one ranked seafood restaurant in Cleveland every year since it's open. They've got unbelievable crab legs. They've got unbelievable scallops. They've got unbelievable lobster. Taste the lobster. The lobster is good.
Surf and turf, baby.
They also have oysters, the surf and turf. They've got it all. Attentive service makes it a VIP experience for everyone. When Kevin Jones is looking to get out there and wine and dine the fine ladies of Cleveland, takes them to Blue Point Grill.
So
if you're listening, ladies, and you'd like to go to a nice dinner date with a nice man, Kevin Jones is your guy. You can follow him on Twitter at Mr_KevinJones, and maybe you'll end up at Blue Point Grill.
I had a hot streak earlier on in the summer. Now it's starting to slow down. So girls,
so you're open. You're accepting applications.
Oh yeah, I mean, I got a brand new couch too. We can cozy up. I make a fire. We can get it to go. We get the Blue Point Grill to go.
There you go.
I've got a bear rug I could lend you.
There we go.
They're strong.
That's very Cleveland.
It is very Cleveland. All right, Kevin, you have been writing prolifically on the ClevelandBrowns.com website about this game, about this victory. But obviously the number one story, at least in my mind, the return of Josh Gordon, return of the Flash. What do you think about his performance?
It looked effortless. 120 yards, it looked like he did it in his sleep. And he said he was getting rust off of himself during the game. So imagine in 2 or 3 weeks when he's really in football shape. Then the one thing that really stood out to me in the locker room afterwards was Hawkins and Isaiah Crowell, without really being prompted, they said, this guy opens things up for us. Safeties have to play deep on him. You saw Hawkins on that 40-yard burst there in the third quarter. That was partly set up by Josh Gordon. Isaiah Crowell able to bounce around. Josh Gordon makes this a more dynamic offense. When Hoyer plays bad, he can bail him out on some of these throws. So you saw it. Without Josh Gordon, I don't know if the Browns win that game.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, for me personally, though, it's something that has to happen very quickly for us to be able to win some of the games coming up on our schedule that will be a challenge, is that rapport between Josh Gordon and Brian Hoyer, because there was at least a handful, I'd say 4, maybe 5 throws that I think Brian Hoyer would want back, and it wasn't necessarily because Josh Gordon was running a bad route. He was where he was supposed to be, just the inaccuracy, and that is something that I think that will be tested down the road and we can be critical of, is Brian Hoyer's accuracy with such a big weapon back.
I think the one thing that's interesting too, you know, Josh Gordon is really, really good with those one step. It's a nice weapon to have when you can take a one step receiver screen and be able to just kind of take off.
Yeah.
And you can take that momentum, break tackles, use your long legs, and gain first downs.
16 targets. Did you guys think Hoyer looked at him a little too much? And some of those picks, I know, were bad throws, but did he get locked in a little bit?
Well, 16 of the 40 passes that he attempted on the day went to Gordon. That's better than the Randy ratio, you know, from back in the day. It's right. It's pretty much right on the Randy ratio, actually. It was supposed to be 40%, so it was right on it, dead on it. Listen, Josh Gordon, what we said all along was that not only is he going to be productive, but he's going to make everybody else around him more efficient. So if you think about it, on the day, 8 of Brian Hoyer's 17 incompletions went to Josh Gordon. The rest, he was pretty accurate. 5 of 5 to Hawkins, 6 of 8 to Austin. He made those guys better, and then some of them were obviously just thrown away because he had 4 untargeted throws. So if you look at it, he was really 23 of 36. So that means 13 incompletions, 8 to Gordon, 5 to everybody else. So it's worth it because of the stress I think it puts on a defense. You want to be smart with it and obviously not turn over the football, but Josh Gordon is such an impact player, and you really saw what he did for everybody else out there.
It didn't really feel like 120 yards. At the end of the game, I was like, wow, that was the most we had all season long. So just imagine when he really gets going.
It could have been 200.
It really could have been.
Those 4 or 5 throws that Brian Hoyer missed were chunk throws, too. It wasn't simple slants or quick outs. It was those big, you know, 18-yard, 19-yard, you know, flag routes and the back shoulder throw. It's something that needs to get fixed, because that threat only grows larger and he will only garner more attention. And I'm sure Atlanta was ready for him, but they weren't ready for the number of reps and or the number of targets that he received in that football game.
I liked how our coaching staff played coy, though. You didn't really know. There was reports before the game from Schefter. If Schefter's saying it, it's pretty believable.
30 snaps, he said.
And he ended up getting, what, 52, Nathan?
54. Yep.
54. So I liked what our coaching staff did there. Obviously, this week, the other team's going to be prepared for Gordon.
Let me ask you guys a question. Is, again, 29 rushes in this football game, three of which were by Brian Hoyer. Of where would you like to see the running back reps go? And I know, obviously, Nathan, you're going to say Crow 20 and Terrence West 10. Is that something that you're comfortable with moving forward?
I'm very comfortable with it. Yeah, I'd still say I've said it all along. What would it look like if Isaiah Crowell got 20 carries? And I think especially now with Josh Gordon back, you just see how dangerous he can be. And that touchdown run where he started off right, cut back left, basically said, get off me, to three different defensive backs, broke it all the way back to the right and scored. That's a special run. That's one of the better runs you're going to see in the NFL this season. And so I'd like to see him get more opportunities to do that. And I think Terrence West, if you're still getting him around 10 touches a game, is going to be involved. He's going to be active and is going to be a little bit of a nice change of pace from what you get with Crow.
We're going to need to rely on that running game later on. So I have no problems with 20, because we all know that sometimes running backs need to get numbers of touches early to start getting their feet
wet,
if you will. So get him in the rhythm and be able to have him do what he did yesterday. So, and then you throw in Weston there to give him that break, but at least we're starting to get this thing ironed out and we know what direction this running
is. And I think also, too, yesterday, because it was just the two runners, not the three, with Ben Tate obviously getting released last week, they're a significantly different personality from a running standpoint. You run a certain type of play for Crowell, and you run a similar but different type of play for T. West, because in my eyes, and I think it was most evident in yesterday's football game, that their running styles can't be further from each other.
Crowell hits the edge so hard, so quickly. You're not going to find backs that do that in the NFL. Marshawn Lynch is who he reminds me of.
Yeah, beast mode. Sick in the second half of this game, 6 carries, 70 yards, and a touchdown for Crow.
Wow.
Come on.
6 for 8.
Feed him, will ya?
Caw-caw, feed the crow. Speaking of unbelievable things yesterday, his run was one of them. But did you guys see the catch from Odell Beckham from the New York Giants last night?
Sick.
Insane. Absurd.
Insane to catch that thing with three fingers. I mean, that's basically in slow motion. It was three fingers he caught that ball.
This rookie receiving class, Kelvin Benjamin, good. Sammy Watkins, a lot of these guys.
Mike Evans.
Matthews. Yep.
These guys are game changers right now.
They are.
Even our guy, Taylor Gabriel. I know he's getting lost in the shuffle here with Gordon back, but there's been some impressive guys coming out of the draft.
There have been. It's been an impressive rookie class. And I'll tell you what, you want to seek out another vine of an unbelievable catch, look up Joe Hayden's catch from pregame warm-ups. Now, his interception was very impressive, but he had one in pregame where he went up with one hand and seemingly was up at about 11 feet and brought it down, which was very good. And a lot of people are blowing that up on the internet there as well. Kevin, what does this team – When you come away from this game and you see this resiliency again, you see, oh, man, they blew it. We did it. What does this team have going for it that makes it so special and that they can keep finding ways to win?
John Greco told me this, and I just really bought into it. He said bringing in Dansby, Whitner, and Austin, it wasn't just moves. It was a mentality change. Yep. It really brought this culture to a locker room where we're not going to get down on ourselves. We may lose a game, and I love what Pettine said in the locker room afterwards. We have not lost back-to-back games.
All year.
We come back the next week, and we make sure it's our mission not to lose. And the Cleveland Browns right now are 7-4 because of that.
Well, it's great. They went down there on a one-game slump, and like slumps can be busted in Atlanta, that's what happened for the Cleveland Browns.
They just really treat every game. It's so cliche, but it's a Super Bowl. Every week is one game. That's really all that matters.
They're all kind of playoff games from this team. Defensively, what did you see? I know you wrote an article as well, ClevelandBrowns.com right now, about the defense. What did you see from them in this game? Because it's a D that's, you know, obviously getting kind of injured, and another injury to Tashawn Gibson. The update there, not official from the Browns, but a lot of different media outlets reporting just an MCL sprain, could be back for the playoffs if the team keeps him active. But how did this D slow down a very good Atlanta Falcons offense?
Rewatching the tape, Craig Robertson stood out to me. 9 tackles. Not only that, he was vicious with the hits. He was really kind of setting the tone there in the middle. They only had 2 completions to their tight ends, did the Falcons. The D-line, decimated by injuries. They really slowed down the running game. I know that Steven Jackson isn't that heralded of a running back. We talked about that last week. But to still get in there and do it and limit him to 34 yards on 13 carries, the Falcons were one-dimensional. And our secondary passed the test. Got a little dicey at times. Roddy White had some good chunks of yardage. But overall, collectively as a unit, they really stepped up.
Is Joe Hayden the best cornerback in the NFL right now?
Listen, the way he's been playing recently, I think there's an argument for it. Again, when you watch a guy high point, balls and intercept them, especially on bigger receivers, make tough catches, shut down the top receiver, there's an argument that he's the best in football right now. I would know if I was playing him one-on-one, A, he would shut me down every time, but B, I would have to spend a lot of time studying that guy because he's that good. He doesn't give a lot away, and he's very, very, very consistent with what he does.
And he's physical. Yes. On that interception, just the way that he kind of got big in front of Julio Jones, who just from a tape measure standpoint, he's given up a lot of size and weight to. He got so big, went up and secured that interception. I was blown away by it. Now, he did give up the touchdown, the 24-yarder to Julio Jones. He bit on the toss fake and got a step out of position, didn't have the safety help where maybe he thought he would from Whitner in the middle of the field and gave up that. But if you take that away and think about how often they tried Julio Jones, they tried him 12 other times. He was held to 4 catches for 44 yards on his other 12 targets. That's not even 4 yards a target for a guy who averages over 10 easily every year that he's in the league.
Right, and even for me, when it comes to Joe Hayden, you know, if you're just going to name names, you can easily name Pro Bowl names, but, you know, Richard Sherman's not playing at the level he played last year.
No,
so to
Patrick
me,
Peterson.
Exactly. And for me at this point, when it comes to corners is, okay, name me another corner in the league right now off of 10 or 11 football games that is playing at the level Joe Hayden is.
I think,
you know,
Revis,
and it's going to be a stretch to do so.
I think Revis is
Revis is one. That's the one
back.
Guy that popped into
my
head.
Revis would come back right now, but Joe Hayden, the other thing that I love about Joe is, Nate, you just mentioned it. He's a physical guy.
Yep.
He's not afraid to mix it up. And that's not really typical with cornerbacks. You know, usually they're good cover guys, and they're not afraid to get they are afraid to get physical. He comes in there, that guy will mix it up with the best of them, and that's what the impressive part about him is.
The Browns are going to need him big time, too. Next week, Sammy Watkins, T.Y. Hilton, down the stretch, Joe has to keep playing this level. Remember earlier in the year, he was the first to say, I'm struggling. Steve Smith beat me on that play against the Ravens. That cost the Browns the game. He's playing at a much higher level than he was. The Browns need him to stay there the rest of the season.
Well, you look at it, you're going to have, coming up, you're going to have Sammy Watkins, you mentioned, T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green again. Then you're going to have Kelvin Benjamin, who's playing well, give him some size to him. And then the final week, either Steve Smith or Torrey Smith of the Baltimore Ravens. So good receivers on tap. And fortunately for the Browns, that's what they've been good at. This is the final one here for the roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill, where you could end up on a date with Mr. Kevin Jones, our guest at this time from ClevelandBrowns.com. What were you guys thinking? What were you doing? Walk me through your process of whatever you were doing, superstitious-wise or whatever, as Billy Cundiff walked onto the field to line up for that game-winning kick.
I had utter confidence that he was going to make that kick because of the down and because of the yard.
So you didn't move from where you were before that. You were
the entire drive by Brian Hoyer. I got up off my couch because I'm intense. It's the same way I watch a Buckeye game. I get up off my couch and I make it different. I scream at the TV, so I'm just closer and I feel like I'm in the action. So I stood up and again I just kept watching the TV, and I even said it to our guests who were at the house watching the game, and I said, chunk play, chunk play, chunk play, controlled play, field goal, we win. Brian Hoyer's a hero. Billy Cundiff gets, you know, carried off the football field. And it was exactly what I thought happened. But I just stood there, and again, just, you know, jumping up and down, crazy excited, like every other Browns fan, I'm sure.
The thing that gave me confidence is knowing we were playing in the dome.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That right off the bat was just like, he's going to make this because we're in the dome. We don't have to worry about the elements.
And
outside.
He made his other controlled kicks as
he
well.
Did. So he was clutch yesterday. When you play in the dome, I mean, that
you
really
guys were a lot calmer than I was.
I was freaking out on the play before, the Mayday play. I knew the Browns were going to run a play, but I thought towards the sideline, when they threw it to Miles Austin in the middle of the field, I was, what are we doing? The clock could run out. Clearly, the Browns have practiced it. They said they practice it every Friday, I believe. It's a play call that has been in the playbook since the spring, and it paid dividends.
Got a little rub there, Hawk. Austin came free, and, you know, veteran savvy. He was actually sliding before he got hit to make sure he could get down and end the play so they had time to spike the ball.
I talked about it earlier. I just thought what he did to come up clutch like that all game, he had some really big catches in that game after poor performance last week, speaks volumes about what Miles was doing. And, again, to be in that situation with that pressure, and everybody for that matter, you cannot drop the ball in those situations. Nobody did. Moved down the field, and we kicked our field goal.
Speaks volumes to this front office. This guy was a free agent for a couple months out there. No one wanted Miles Austin. We've brought him in, and now he's an integral part to this offense.
We've got a good hamstring program here because they're taking care of the hamstring.
Yes, they have.
As team president Alex Shiner would say, you're welcome. Spent some time with Miles Austin in Dallas. I was on my knees. You're right next to me.
Oh, my God. Nathan on the sidelines.
I was so nervous. And then he kicked it, and I – It's so hard to tell from where we are if it goes in or not. So it's based solely. I just
reaction.
It's a wild angle. You can't tell.
Right at the crowd, and so once the crowd looked up reasonably upset, and Christian Yount jumped up and put his arms in the air, I felt good, and then I just was fired up, and it was great, and it was a cool scene because, and you guys know this obviously much better than you know I do, but when you win on the road, the home team disappears quickly, and it's just kind of like everybody's out there running around, hugging each other, screaming, especially with when it's a walk-off type of a win like that.
Right.
So it was a cool feeling in the Georgia Dome.
I thought for me, what really made me happy was watching Coach Patton, who doesn't show that much emotion, to be over there and just kind of let out two kind of growls.
Screams.
Like two screams of excitement showed you just how important this game was. And that, to me, personifies. I think his demeanor during the week, the team has bought into, and it shows on Sunday. So I think what we're seeing right now is his team, they've bought into it, and they're following their leader.
No question. Give your Twitter handle again. Plug it for the peeps.
Mr. _ Kevin Jones, hit me up on a tweet, and I will take you out for dinner and much more.
Much more than that. Absolutely. All right, when we come back, we'll deal with the Brown statement on a John football incident. We just got it from Ray Farmer, so we'll lead off the second hour with that news. And, of course, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 216-578-0850, at Mr. _ Kevin Jones, ladies. And for the gentlemen out there who want to just read great football articles about your Cleveland Browns, go to ClevelandBrowns.com or follow him as well. Zagura Wilhelm Jurevich, it's hour number two with CBD coming up next here on ESPN 850 WKNR.